I'm David S. Dawson from The Intellectual Podcast, a show that spotlights creatives from all walks of life, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredibly geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. As usual, I'm Chris, and today we have the person who has been on the show the most, Carrington Martin from Real Dudes. Carrington, how are you?
Hey. I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself, Chris?
I'm pretty good because we have the return of my most frequent guest for something that I didn't even realize was a comic until maybe like a week ago.
What?
No, you want to know the worst part, though?
What's that?
My wife reads this comic, and I didn't realize it was a comic.
Oh, my gosh. Shit. You know, that doesn't happen very often. You know, you have a show literally based around comics and stuff, and your wife is aware of a comic you have not even aware of.
I want to say that in the back of my brain, if you asked me if, we should probably tell people what we're looking at.
Yes, that's probably important.
We're looking at Phantom 2040. That in itself isn't a comic. But the Phantom is. And if somebody asked me if the Phantom was a comic, I'd probably think about it for a second and say yes. But if you're asking me to name comics, I would never name the Phantom.
That is totally fair. So I can't fault you there. However, there is a cult classic film with a fantastic name, The Phantom. Starring Billy Zane as the Phantom. It came out in the mid-90s. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that movie, which is why I'm aware of the Phantom. And I remember seeing that movie my dad going, yeah, that's a comic.
I can tell you that I've seen the movie exactly zero times, but I did know that the Phantom had a ring. And I have no idea how those two things can both coexist in my life.
And you missing out because he's got the tights on, man. He's got some really tight tights on.
I mean, this is like the first, I don't want to say superhero because it doesn't really have any powers, but this is like the first hero to wear the tights.
Yes, which in preparing for this episode, I had no idea he was like the first hero to wear tights, the first hero to wear, you can't see his pupils really, you know? He was really a precursor to a bunch of the comic book heroes that we have today.
You had your origin of, hey, this really bad thing happened, and I want to make sure it doesn't happen again, which is basically every single comic book hero origin ever in a nutshell. I mean, everything, it seems like, kind of comes back to the Phantom.
Which is kind of crazy, because, like, you know, in the whole, like, let's say just the whole Marvel versus DC debate, you know, everyone's like, well, DC's better because their stuff came out first. Well, I mean, even going, if you go back further than that, Phantom did it first.
The Phantom has been around as a newspaper comic since 1936.
That is crazy when you think about it. He's coming up on 100 years.
I mean, if you want to put that into a little bit of perspective, Batman now has been around for like 80 years, something like that, right?
Sure. I don't
know.
That
seems about right, because I think I remember the DC app having a big deal about that. Superman is a little bit older than that, not by much. And then there's the Phantom, who's just older than everybody and wearing tights.
Oh, yeah. And there were some things I knew about Phantom, because, like I said, I've seen the movie and I'm aware of him. But when you really like, kind of like, if you're just doing like a superficial look over him, he kind of reminds me of Black Panther in a way, because he's basically in a jungle, African jungle that's, you know, fictional, and he's trying to just protect that part of Africa, really. He's not like super smart like Black Panther is, you know, and he doesn't have powers like Black Panther or anything like that. Just that superficial, like if you're doing a quick overdive of what he's about. Yeah,
he doesn't have powers. He doesn't really have any super powerful gadgets or anything. It's just a dude in a suit who keeps passing the suit along. And like they call him the man who cannot die. Because mm-hmm. as far as anybody yep. knows, it's been the same Phantom since 1936 in the comics.
But in reality, he keeps passing on the torch.
If you look at it in the reality of the comic, too, he's been going since, like, King Arthur times.
Yeah, basically. And where we are now, it's just kind of weird because, like, with most superheroes, like your Batman, Spider-Man, yada, 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 we know eventually they pass the torch, but it's been done so few times that you really think of the main people who embody those characters. You know, like Bruce Wayne is Batman, Peter Parker is Spider-Man, you know, things like that. But the Phantom really has this huge arc where he's not the first Phantom and he won't be the last. And so that torch can and has been passed on.
Say that the Phantom that picks up in the 1936 comics is like the 21st Phantom, something like that. I mean, I might be wrong on my exact number, but it's definitely something up there where, you know, it's not like this is the first or second time it's been passed along. This is a well-established thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. Right. Within the universe. It's not, like I said, like we know Batman eventually passes the torch to a couple different people. But it's like I said, it's happened so few times, even within that universe. It's to me, it's a fascinating thing to be, you know, a hero comic, you know, having all these firsts that we've mentioned. And when you come into the story, he has this established lore about him that he just doesn't die. But in reality, he's definitely not the first. He didn't start this whole phenomenon for this hero.
Plus, we know when Batman passes on the torch to somebody else to be Batman, he either knows it's a super temporary thing or eventually it doesn't matter what happens. Bruce Wayne is going to be Batman again.
Exactly. Exactly. Whereas the Phantom, he can die. Like it's established. That character who is ever embodying that persona can die, but the Phantom as a character will live on. And it doesn't matter who is wearing, anybody can be the Phantom. Literally.
And as far as I know, they have never gone back.
Which is fascinating, because when you think about it, in comic books, no one is truly ever gone.
Except for the Phantom, apparently.
Usually. Except for the Phantom.
He's a ghost, and ghosts imply that people are dead. So I think it's really cool how you have this comic that establishes that the character has been around for basically forever. Just kind of going throughout history, mm-hmm. being a swashbuckling sword guy when that's in style, and just kind of going with the times and keeping up with everything. And then you get to a cartoon that for some reason decided they wanted to set it in the year 2040.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me at all, especially with it being like a 90s cartoon.
That's basically how you can describe the cartoon, if you ask me. I am a 90s kid. I grew up on those cartoons. Like, I can go back and watch anything from that era, and unless it was objectively stupid when it came out, I'm still going to love it. But this cartoon, I couldn't do it.
You just like, couldn't do it?
The opening credits look more like a trailer to me than the opening credits to a cartoon, and I kind of lost it from there.
So what you're saying, it does not hold up.
I can look past the computer graphics that I'm sure were cutting edge when they came out, but look, I mean, they're not the most dated thing here, but you can definitely tell that they're really old.
That's totally fair. I unfortunately, preparing, I didn't have a ton of time to prepare, so I tried to do like a crash course. So I did see one episode, and that one episode of Phantom 2040, like, I didn't hate it. I was like, you know what? I might check this out later. But I one episode is really hard to gather a full, you know, opinion on something. Whereas you, on the other hand, watched at least four episodes.
Yeah, Kaylee and I found a video on YouTube where somebody had taped where they were showing the first four episodes as a 2-hour movie premiere thing on some station in Albuquerque. And
nice.
Honestly,
nice.
We were more entertained by the commercials than the show.
Some of those old school 90s
and
kids
really
commercials.
It's weird too, because the concept of the show, I think, should work. You've got the grandson of who Kaylee says is the Phantom in the current comic book comics. And so they really tie in the fact that this is a family business for him, essentially. And
right,
like, his aunt is the Phantom's sister, which I guess is how families work, so that part makes perfect sense. But it's a sister that is showing up in the comics, and you've got all these people talking about things that happened years and years ago about the Phantom that is currently in the newspaper comics. But I don't know, just something about the cartoon, to me, it just doesn't sit right.
Well, it has a very interesting premise. I don't even know where to begin. It's definitely, it's very stereotypically 90s when I'm looking at like the synopsis of the cartoon, in which, by the way, the game follows the same exact storyline. So it's not like it was far off or anything like that. So basically, I don't even know where to start. It's kind of like a very much a, you know, in the future, all of the world's pretty much come to a standstill. It's been decimated because of war, more or less. And there is a, you know, this kind of reminds me more of Ready Player One. You know, a big corporation has pretty much taken over and is in charge of things.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And then you have the Phantom who's just trying to, you know, stop them, more or less.
The basic premise of the cartoon is that Rebecca Madison, who is the chairperson of Maximum Incorporated, really hates the fact that the Phantom killed her husband, and he has to live inside a computer, Baron Zemo style. So she wants to kill the Phantom.
Understandable.
Everybody that works for her is a robot.
Also makes sense, you know? Easy for the Phantom to beat up things in a very 90s-esque style way.
So, I mean, over the 35 episodes of the cartoon, from what I've been able to gather and what I've watched, because, I mean, I watched that first four episodes and then a random couple other ones tonight when I got home eating dinner. It's a whole lot of them trying to plot how to kill the Phantom.
But they fail.
Oh, of course they fail, because he cannot die. But you've got some really well-known names doing voices for this cartoon.
Yeah. I'm shocked. Leigh Remini, for those of you that know King of Queens, she was in that. Ron Perlman, a.k.a. Hellboy. He has a voice. Mark Hamill's got a voice in here. I mean, you've got some pretty big names in here.
You have Margot Kidder, who, you know, she played Lois Lane in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Whoa, that's pretty big.
Doing a voice on this little cartoon. You have Jeff Bennett, who, even if you don't know his name, has been in literally everything, including the Penguin Kowalski.
Yes, Jeff Bennett is in. If you watch cartoons, he has probably done a voice in said cartoon. Like, that's how big Jeff Bennett is. That's how big that name is. I mean, yeah, that's all I got to say. He's a huge voice actor.
Alan Oppenheimer did a voice in here. The voice of Skeletor.
Ooh, the OG voice of Skeletor. they were not playing around when they were getting voice talent.
They got all these people, and then this cartoon, which I didn't watch this cartoon growing up, so I don't have the same nostalgia for it that I do with other 90s things that pop up. Maybe if I'd watched it, I would remember it better. I don't know, but I don't have any friends that watched it. I didn't really watch it. I don't have any connection to it besides these voice actors, and I can go see them on tons of other things.
And honestly, I wasn't even aware of this cartoon. And so when I first fired, I'm like, oh, that's a 90s cartoon. Maybe if I watched the intro or an episode, I might remember seeing like advertising for it or something. I don't remember this cartoon literally at all, which is rare.
I mean, the only reason that I even thought to look at this at all was way back when I was looking through the Wikipedia list of games based on comics. I don't remember seeing this, and I vaguely remembered that this was a game that I had seen probably on SNES Drunk, like, is this game worth playing now? Kind of things. And vaguely remembering that there was a Phantom movie, and just having a gut feeling that there was a comic somewhere.
Wow, that is quite the
dive. I mean, that's me
there.
Piecing things together now with tons of confirmation bias.
Right. Right.
But I mean, it's not something that a ton of people seem to put together as a comic, which is weird because the newspaper comic is still running today. It's been running since 1936.
Yeah, it's still going strong today. Honestly, when you said, hey, Karen, I need an emergency guest, here is a list I need you to pick. And when I saw the Phantom, I'm like, yes.
You thought it was based on the movie, didn't you?
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I did too.
I can't tell you how great that movie is. I mean, it's probably super. I haven't watched it in probably 10 to 12 years, probably. But I remember loving it, you know, growing up and watching it with my dad. And, well, actually with the whole family several times because we all love that movie. And I love Billy Zane because he's great. And Catherine Zeta-Jones is like the love interest in that movie too. So, I mean, it's got, for a 90s movie, it's got some big names. So yeah, when you first asked me a fan, I'm like, yes, I'm going to rewatch the movie. And, you know, I was all excited. And then I realized, well, no, there is no game based off the movie. And it's actually based off a cartoon, which is not based off of any comics, which is kind of weird. Like, if you want to bring a new audience to your story, I don't see why you wouldn't, you know, continue on what the comics have been doing for so long instead of just taking it, you know, and then when you establish that character, then you can bring it into the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really weird because the people that directed and wrote this cartoon, I'm not seeing any names that I recognize. Hearst Entertainment that made it is not a name that I recognize. Kaylee says that French animation is kind of a big deal, so I'll have to trust her on that because I don't watch a ton of it that I know of.
That's fair.
But there didn't seem to be, to me anyway, any kind of real connection to the comic made from the cartoon. It just established that, yes, there were other Phantoms. This was something that got passed along. And it had some of the same characters, but if you didn't already know who those characters were, it's not like it was going to be a way to get you over to the comic.
That's, yeah, and that's really what it should be, what it should drive your, the cartoons, you know, should drive your audience to, you know, hey, this is a comic, boom, you should, you know, go out and buy comics. But if you have nothing tying your franchises together, then what's the reason why me as a consumer would go further into the lore of a comic. You know, on one hand, you got to give them praise for doing something different, but it just on a from a business point of view, it doesn't make any sense.
Which I'm going to feel really dumb right now when I say this. Hearst mm-hmm. Communications.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, as soon as you said Hearst, I knew it. So I'm a huge nerd and I love people and connections and things like that. So I knew that as Chris Hardwick's wife, Lydia, I know her family is connected to Hearst Entertainment. So, yeah. And they're one of the richest families literally in the world.
I'm actually really excited that you let me look dumb like that because people seem to like it when I make myself look dumb on here.
You got to figure these things out, you know, discover it for yourself. You know, I'm not going to, you know, make you. I don't want to sound like I am talking down to you. How's that?
Well, on that note, let's drop some promos for a few other shows while I gather myself and then we come back and talk about this game.
All right.
Hello, it's Heather from Sunshine and Power Cuts, the podcast that features two types of episodes which alternate. The Sunshine ones offer inspiration drawn from nature, but in the Power Cut ones, I share honest insights into my life living off the power grid in rural New Zealand. If you'd like to check it can be found where good podcasts can be downloaded, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SunPowerPod. Until then, be empowered by nature.
WNQA. Want to know what Kyle Starks' strategy is for playing NBA Jam?
Want to hear about the time Shonen McGuire's entire head was inside a pelican's mouth?
Want to hear McDuffie Award winners Ivy Noelle Weir and Steens talk about the brilliance of the reality TV show Vanderpump Rules?
Want to hear me challenge Chris Sims to a Batman trivia contest?
Boy, howdy, do we have a podcast for you. I'm Dan Grote.
And I'm Matt Lazowitz.
And together we host WMQ&A, a weekly comics podcast where we talk to creators about their work and get to know them.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll learn stuff.
Wait, did we make someone cry at some point?
Well, I mean, I was pretty bummed when Chris Sims beat me in Batman trivia.
Fair enough. New episodes move Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and at WMQComics.com.
And if you subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/WMQComics, you get them even earlier.
So come join us. We have pie.
Pie not actually included.
WMQA.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So Carrington, I mean, obviously we're not too excited about the Phantom comic, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I never, like I said, I was aware of the Phantom, but I wasn't something that, the movie is more a part of my childhood than the comic was, so.
And I feel really bad saying that because obviously in the history of everything, it's a really important comic.
And agreed.
If I go back and actually read the comic instead of just watching the cartoon, I'm sure I would have liked it a lot better.
Or watch the movie.
Well, yeah, I could have done that, but let's not go overachieving here.
Fair enough.
But the game we're looking at is Phantom 2040, which is based on the cartoon and really nothing else.
Yeah, and I will say too, so I, you know, like I said, wasn't aware of the show, definitely wasn't aware of the video game, and the video game follows the show really closely based on the one episode I saw.
And as much crap as we threw at the show for kind of ignoring the fact that there was source material for it to go on, the game does a really good job of following the cartoon.
Yeah. And even the music for the technology that was available at the time, it still sounds really close to the music that's in the show. Like the first level is literally the theme song from the show, which I thought was really cool and very catchy. The music is actually very catchy because that the last episode I was on, was it The Mask, the last episode I was on?
Yes.
I remember not liking the music in the video game at all.
Well, that's kind of sucked.
Yeah. But this same era, same generation of games, the music is really good in the game.
It's amazing what can happen in basically no time at all. I mean, you're looking at the same system, you're looking at the same technology, and you just have something that really works.
Mm-hmm.
So this story in the game revolves around all kinds of things that are threatening Metropia, which I have heard is most likely supposed to be future New York City.
Basically.
I don't have any confirmation on whether that's somebody just saying it or an actual canon thing.
I it must be addressed in the show because it's in every description of the show slash game.
That works for me then. So Metropia is future New York City, whether it's true or not, because now it's true.
And the game, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it. How's that? I mean, as far as how it looks, you're just basically the Phantom and you just kind of go around the level until you find the end. Like, that's basically it. It just doesn't stand out, if that makes sense.
It's not super amazing, but it does have a bunch of different paths you can go through in the level.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have the same exit on every level. So it's more like how there's 20 different ways you can get from your house to McDonald's, but you're going to end up at McDonald's at the end no matter what.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair analogy.
It kind of almost plays like Metroid.
Yeah.
A really discount Metroid, but still.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. I mean, it's... Yeah. Yeah,
in let's the go loosest with that. Sense of the words.
Yes. Yes. Let's go with that.
It's third hand inspired by Metroid. I think that's going to sit with you a little bit better.
Yes, that sits me a lot better. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Yes. Mr. Rainer, please don't get mad at me for saying that.
I really wish they went with the normal source material instead of going in the future. So because the Phantom doesn't have superpowers, so he does kind of have like a, in the game, he's got like this gun that he shoots and stuff. And that's how you like defeat all the enemies and things like that. And you just go around shooting robots from level to level and with amazing music.
You get through the level and you do your thing and you find everything that you need to get there and you beat the big boss. You have your weapons and stuff. Like there's a special thing for hand-to-hand combat. You can become invisible, which in this game kind of makes you invincible. I'm not sure if they knew that those words are different or not.
Oh, the 90s.
Well, Kaylee explained it away to where you're playing a 2D game. So if he's invisible, then he's just moving in a 3D space in this 2D world so we don't notice it and getting around the enemies instead of just passing through them.
That's a really good explanation, actually.
And that is why she's the smart one in the house and not me.
Fair enough. This game is, it's not a bad game. It just doesn't stand out. How's that? Like, it's just.
That's pretty much what it boils down to. I mean, nobody is ever going to be shamed for owning this game. I mean, it's not something you can play through in 10 minutes. The fastest speed runs I could find were around 37. So even if you're looking for the speed run kind of thing, you're going to put some time into it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also very reminiscent of a 90s game also. So it's not exactly what you would call easy.
No, not at all.
So on that end as well, like you're in for a ride.
But that being said, it has multiple endings.
Ooh, one of these.
I mean, anything with multiple endings, I think is already going to be really good because you've got the replay value built right in there. You go through, you just beat the game, and then, oh, hey, maybe I should try to beat the game better.
It's not that I wouldn't. I mean, it's not that I would, but it's... So if I'm me right now and I beat this game once, I'm not replaying it, though. To be fair, to be honest.
I can't blame you. I mean, it doesn't seem like the kind of game that you personally would go back and care about shaving an extra minute off your time or anything.
Right. And I'm not a speedrunner either, so I wouldn't be too invested in trying to just go through it as quickly as possible either. Like, I just, like I said, it's not a bad game. It just doesn't do anything for me personally. Like, I'm sure if you were a 90s kid and you watched the cartoon and you played the game, which odds are you probably didn't, but if you did, hats off to you, and I'm sure you enjoyed those things. I'm not taking that joy away from you. I'm not trashing it, but at the same time, I'm just saying, like, it just doesn't do it for me. There's nothing telling me I missed out on my childhood for not playing or watching this franchise.
All right, so the levels here, they aren't really anything too special either. You have the ghost jungle, which really is more of just a holodeck, I guess, for a lack of a better way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
And when you think about it, too, the year is 2040. That's 20 years from now.
Yeah, I don't think the technology is going to catch up at all.
No, not at all. Not even in the slightest.
I mean, you go through a city level, you go through a lab level. There's a few hypercycle levels. It's just nothing that really stands out to me. And maybe it would if I was more familiar with the comic. But no. This doesn't make me want to go back and read them at all.
And the weird thing is too, like, if you were on the board in the 90s, you know, trying to make a game, if you had a checklist of like themed levels you needed, you pretty much just said all of them. Jungle level, check. Laboratory, check. There's probably a sewer level without even me looking at it.
The bad part too, because from as much of the cartoon as I did watch, these mm-hmm. are all environments that everybody is in. So it's not like they just went 90s generic, here it is. But if you're not familiar with the cartoon and you're just looking at it, that's really what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, no joke. Like, it definitely sounds and looks like your stereotypical, like, 90s stuff.
There's just no way around that at all. The bosses are your stereotypical 90s. They have a pattern, and you can learn the pattern and never get hit if you know the pattern kind of thing. I mean, it's not something I'm going to look back at super excitedly and, yay, let me get this game and play it. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. And I know for a fact I have missed out on a lot of games in my lifetime. Some are historical, and, you know, I will get to those games someday. But I know for a fact this is not one of them.
I mean, if you do want to go grab it, it's not a huge investment.
How much are we talking?
I mean, loose carts only here, but Super Nintendo, you're looking like $15.
Oh, that's not bad, because I remember when we were looking at the mask, it was a little bit more expensive than what one would probably pay for. Not just if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I want to say that was closer to 30.
30, yeah, if I remember right. So yeah, what did you say, 15?
Yeah, 15 for Super Nintendo. As usual, Genesis is cheaper, you know, like 9 or 10.
Okay.
And, you know, these are May 2019 prices, roughly, if you're listening in the future. So obviously that could have changed.
Right.
You can go even cheaper and play like $8 for Game Gear, but then you have to play it on Game Gear. So,
as much as a fan of I am of Sega, yeah, I'm not a fan of the Game Gear. So it's all good.
I mean, if you're into the Metroid style of games, this is definitely one I think you should go get. Because for the money you'll have to pay for it, it's really not bad. You have resource management stuff. You have a pretty responsive game. It sticks with the cartoon really well.
And the music is really good.
For me, I would have just much rather had a game based on the Phantom itself instead of this phantom cartoon that I barely knew existed.
Yeah, I would really like to be in the board meetings for Phantom 2040 to see like the reasoning behind it all.
Because I doubt that this game had somebody walking through a comic show saying, oh, look, we really need to make a game about that. This had to have been, oh, look, here's a cartoon. Let's make some more money.
No, this was a self-conscious decision by the company to go, you know what? We've got the franchise. We can do this. We can do something different with it. Phantom's a well-known comic book character, right?
I mean, it was developed and published by Viacom.
I would just love to know more about what went into it. And two, I had something in mind and I forgot what. And if I were to go to a random person on the street right now and go, hey, do you know Phantom, the hero, the comic book? They're not going to know the Phantom.
No. It's like, if you're going to do something based on a franchise that people don't really know, I feel like you should hit the comic and not this cartoon that ran for 35 episodes over 2 years.
Yeah. Even though the game follows close, like it, as source material, the game is fantastic for the cartoon that it's based on. Which is crazy, because the times I've been on the show, that doesn't always happen.
No, I think you pretty much just come on for games where it doesn't happen.
Yeah, pretty much. More or less.
So the fact that this one works so well relative to the cartoon is a miracle.
Which is technically its source material.
Yeah, and we've hit what this game gets right and wrong pretty much all over the place here, a lot more than everything else, because it's a lot of, yeah, it's good for the cartoon, but I have no connection to the cartoon.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the cartoon has such a loose connection to the comic that it really almost could have existed without the comic.
Yeah, like if there was no cartoon tie-in with the game, then of course this would not be good source material if you've never heard of the Phantom. Gosh, this is...
But all of that being said, if you take the cartoon out and it was just, hey, here's a Phantom game set in the year 2040. Okay, that makes sense. I can run with that. Because the Phantom has this precedent set of actually progressing through time.
You know what? That's totally fair, and I can see that.
So in my perfect world, we can get rid of the cartoon.
Okay.
Because it's the kind of show that I will put on while I'm cleaning the house, because I don't really need to watch it, but if I get super bored while I'm cleaning, I can actually sit there and watch it for like 5 minutes. And then I'm motivated to start cleaning again because the cartoon just doesn't do anything for me.
Fair enough. Gosh, and I'm looking through the credits right now for the game, and there are some nice little talent behind the scenes, which is interesting and I guess would make sense in a way. I'm looking at the artist right now, and he worked on, this was one of his first projects, but he went on to work on a small game, you may have heard of it, called Halo. He was the artist for Halo.
I think I've heard of that one.
Okay, okay. He also worked on Oni, which was Bungie's like first game right before Halo as well. So he had a stint with Bungie for a little bit. Then he went on to work with Maxis. You may know them from a small franchise known as The Sims. May or not have heard of that. Yeah, there's I'm trying to look at this like very quickly without wasting your time too much. But I mean, there are other people as well with other with similar talents working on similar level games. The guy who worked on the audio for the game, he went on to work on King Griffey Jr. Slugfest, which I remember playing that game as a kid. And as well as he did the music for Shaq Fu as well. Fantastic game. We all know that, right?
Oh, yeah. That game is amazing. I actually went out and hunted that one out at the flea market.
Nice.
I just really like Bad Fighters. What can I say?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, man. So, I mean, so the game had some talent behind it. It wasn't just a bunch of nobodies.
It's just for whatever reason, they tried to make a game out of a cartoon with little staying power, and it really shows.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And that's its biggest problem, honestly. I mean, if you want to check out the game yourself, go right ahead. I'm not stopping you. I'm not even gonna judge you if you play the game and you like it. Like, that's totally up to you. It's just one of those things that's just kind of an odd marketing thing.
I mean, what the game gets right is it really looks like the cartoon. It really follows the story of the cartoon. And at least as far as the cartoon is concerned, it really gets the characterization of the Phantom right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, in the mid-90s, it would have been made more sense for them to make a game off the movie.
They really should have, because then they could have had somebody kicking the Phantom in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as what it gets wrong.
Well, everything, because it's not the comics.
But also nothing, because it really is the cartoon.
Right?
It's weird. Like, it's maybe one of the most accurate things that we've looked at to the source material.
But that is so weird. But we can't find anything
good to say about it.
Gosh, it's so weird.
So, Carrington, if you had somebody who wanted to get into the Phantom,
mm-hmm.
would you give them this game as a bit of a primer course?
No, not at all. Not even close.
I know. I mean,
and that's a shame to say, just because of how accurate this stupid game is to the cartoon.
If you have somebody who wants to get into the cartoon, I'd tell them just play the game instead of the cartoon.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
You're going to get all the story that you need. You're going to get everything that you need, and you don't have to waste your time and 17 hours roughly of your life watching this cartoon that I'm probably admittedly never going to watch again. And I love watching bad cartoons.
That's saying a lot, man. But I will say, you should check out the movie. I think you'll enjoy it.
I will check out the movie. I definitely will, because if nothing else, I want to see something that's actually the Phantom and not this.
Yes.
I'm not going to fault them for making this. They're trying to update it. They're trying to do something cool. They tried. I'll give them credit for that.
There you go.
It's not super horrible. It's just...
it's bland. How's that? It's bland.
It needs more salt than hospital food.
Ooh. That's rough. Yeah. Now that's rough.
I was being completely serious when I said that my wife and I were more interested in the commercials.
That's bad.
But it's true.
I know you said the answer was probably not, but I would be interested if your wife has heard of or seen the movie.
I don't know if she has. I will definitely ask her about that. And I will let people know one way or another. If you had somebody who just wanted to get into the Phantom in general, would you hand them this game?
No. Because I don't know how you could get the story of the Phantom. I mean, I guess you get the basic premise, but it doesn't explain, like, hey, the Phantom is a long series of people taking over, and this is the Phantom that you know from the comics. This is his grandson. You know, it doesn't do that. So I can't recommend that either.
Yeah, the only way I would do it is if I had somebody that I knew had been reading the newspaper comics or something, and maybe I would give them this game and say, hey, here's some future alternate reality Phantom stuff.
That's totally fair. Yeah, if you are already a fan of the Phantom, check this game out. But if not, it would be really hard to convince someone to check this game out.
If you're just a fan of old platformers, check this game out. It's really not a bad game.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, this is just such a weird thing.
It's weird because I think this really is the game that sticks to the source material the best out of all 60 plus episodes that I have looked at and 70 plus games that I've looked at, because some of them have been combo shots. This is the one that really follows its source material the best. But the game is so bland because the cartoon is so bland.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I'm looking at the past games or past episodes I've been on and with the games. I mean, the closest I can say was probably X-Mutants, which I've been on as well. And X-Mutants, I don't know. Watch that or listen to that episode if you want to hear more about that. But I think that's the only other game I've been on that has come somewhat close to the source material. But this follows it way better than any other episode I've been on.
And we're still saying just no. Stay
away. And that is such a weird thing to just put out there. Like, oh, hey, yeah, this game's follows the source material great. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
It had to happen eventually. I thought we were going to get into PlayStation first.
Not yet, man.
Man.
And the weird thing is, because I know Batman the Animated Series, which is the first episode I was on, we did recommend that game, even though it doesn't necessarily follow any particular Batman storyline within the cartoon or anything like that. But I remember recommending that game. But I don't think we've recommended a game since I've been on here.
Yeah, because nothing else you've been on comes anywhere close to being as this close to the source material.
Nope.
I don't know. We're just going to have to live in a world of mystery 20 years in the future where they have holodecks and hover cycles.
And a guy in a tight purple suit trying to save the world.
Who has been around since pirate times, because he cannot die.
The Phantom.
So Carrington, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you around the internet?
So you can find me at DesertFury90 over on the good old Twitters, or check out my show, Real Dudes Podcast, at @RealDudes_pod on Twitter, Real Dudes Pod on the good old Instagram and Facebook, and also any other podcasting apps out there. Just look for Real Dudes Podcast. We are the indie gaming podcast for your listening ears.
As opposed to your watching ears?
Yeah, we're working on that though.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
You're good.
This is what happens when somebody has been on your show more than your own wife.
Ooh.
As always, if you want to hear more from me, you can head on over to Twitter or Facebook. The two easiest ways to get there, you can just check out the links in the show notes, or you can go to playcomics.com/Twitter and playcomics.com/Facebook group to go right to Twitter or the Facebook group. It's a really cool thing. I love it. You can follow the same idea. Just go to playcomics.com/store and you can go straight to the Play Comics section of the Ninja Penguin store that we have set up. While you're there, you can check out stuff for Meddling Kids. Or if you're feeling really adventurous, you can just go on over to meddlingkidspod.com and hear Kaylee and I talk about Scooby-Doo and how much we love it and how amazing it is. Don't forget that Play Comics is now part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to such wonderful shows as the Dat IO podcast, where you can hear all about the cool aspects of being a dad, but also having all kinds of cool tech to play with while you do it. That is a really cool show. And while I don't have the dad thing to worry about with it, I do like having new toys.
Nothing wrong with that.
If you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day, where you can check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character. Carrington, I think there's something we forgot about. About the Phantom.
What's that?
No, you do it because you remembered and I forgot.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, yeah. I forgot something about the Phantom that I should have been reminded about.
Oh, what was it?
Well, so the Phantom has this dog as a companion. He's kind of like a husky type looking dog. I don't remember the dog's name, but he has it and he helps him out, you know, fighting crime, fighting the baddies and stuff like that. Phantom 2040, he doesn't have a companion at all. He doesn't have a cool dog. It's just him. So there's something, I'm not just to kind of just add to the whole Phantom lore that they could have added. They could have added a cool dog because who doesn't like a cool dog?
Wait a second. Because I was watching some general Phantom backgrounds. You forgot the dog's name is Devil?
Yeah, that's his name.
And they forgot to put the dog in here entirely?
Yep.
Doesn't his cop friend have a dog, Devil, that's a robot?
I said, I don't know if it was all the way up, but I don't remember a dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His cop friend has a dog, Devil. His cop friend has a robot dog named Devil.
So they kind of got it right?
No, we're taking away all of their correctness points because they kind of forgot about the dog and then totally misused them.
So a robot dog, is he at least a cool robot dog?
Yeah, he's a cool robot dog. But I'm changing all of my official stances to get the game. It's kind of fun, but the cartoon is straight up garbage.
Gosh, I'm gonna... My allergies.
That's what editing is for.
All right, I'm good now.
All right.
So yeah, they completely forgot about the dog that is the Phantom's companion. Not anybody else's.
How do you forget about the dog?
I'm sorry, man. It just totally slipped my mind.
Animal experts out there, I'm not even mad at Carrington for forgetting about the dog because there are so many other things to remember. But Varmints podcast and Species podcast and Life, Death, and Taxonomy podcast and Strange Animals podcast and whatever other animal podcasts there are, if you can let me know some horrible instance where a franchise just totally forgot about or ignored a wonderful animal companion like that, please let us know, because now my heart is sad because they forgot about the dog.
My heart is sad too.